David and Christy and their family have been on the field for one full term, 4 years, and we're down in, I don't know if you call Temuco southern Chile, middle, I don't know, it's so long, southern Chile, and then for the last couple of years here, they've been up in northern Chile in Antofagasta. We've mentioned their ministry before many times and prayed for them. You know, we were able to support them in the purchase of a mission home that they had. It was, I'll let him tell you the story if that's in his plan for today as to how that all came together, but it was a remarkable situation how the Lord provided for them in that regard. And but we're just glad to have them here with us. I met them down in Chile, didn't we meet there first? Yeah, and we spent a week at conference and camp together and have corresponded ever since then. But we are very like-minded in ministry. And he's in ministry of church planning, which, you know, is near and dear to me and to us as a church as well. So we look forward to hearing what you have to bring for us this morning, all day, in all three meetings today. So we also have lunch after morning worship service. I hope you brought some grub that we can enjoy together. Yes. All right. Amen. Brother David, please come. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, today has not gone as planned. On the mission field, that's a normal thing, honestly. During a week, if I have two or three days that go well, meaning I went in with a plan and it went that way, we're doing pretty good. Flexibility on the mission field is a key character quality that a missionary needs. Well, like Pastor said, we're going to be here all day. We're excited to get to know you. We love and are encouraged by your pastor. He has come and ministered to our hearts when he came a couple years ago to speak at the GMSA conference. What we will be doing today during Sunday school, we're going to be talking about the concept of hospitality, and I would like to weave in a few stories and experiences on how we've seen hospitality be a big encouragement in church planting. This evening, we'll be showing a PowerPoint and a few videos about what Chile is like and what God is doing in the ministry. So I encourage you to come back tonight to find out more, to see more pictures. During this hour, we won't be showing a bunch of pictures from where we live, but that's tonight. Let's see if this pointer works here. There we go. We're going to be talking about hospitality, looking at a few portions of Scripture. Could you turn the last one back on? I'm going to need to see here. There you go. Maybe not that one. Maybe one over here.
No.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, as Pastor said, we've been on the field for 4 years, and our first 2 years was like a orientation mentorship time, and we learned a lot, started to learn the culture and the language. And about 2 years ago, we moved to a new city. And we didn't know anybody. And one of the things that the Lord has really used is just hospitality in our home, having people in our home. And so I would like us to consider, as believers, if you are a believer here today, the importance of hospitality. And these days, hospitality is a lost art. It doesn't happen very often. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit. I wanted to show one picture. Every once in a while, we open up our home and invite those in our church to come over for game night. Something very simple. But they have really enjoyed coming. It's important to teach Christians that we can laugh, we can have fun. The world thinks of us as Christians as, you know, we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't do this. But we know as believers we can have a lot of fun. We have fellowship in Christ. But simply inviting people over to your home, playing some games, chatting about how their life is doing, it's been a real blessing to our family. And it's been a blessing to those who are in our church plant. I've started to read a book called The Art of Neighboring. It's a newer book. It's called Building. The subtitle is called Building Genuine Relationships Right Outside Your Door. I've been reading it online. I don't own it personally yet. But I would like to share what he shared in the introduction. You know when you play tic-tac-toe, you draw the tic-tac-toe chart. What he said is if you put your home in the middle and each square on the outside, there's eight, imagine your eight immediate neighbors. And he challenged the reader of the book, do you know their names? I'd like you to think of that. Your eight immediate neighbors. Do you know their names? He said, why don't we start with that? That's challenging, isn't it? But he went further. With each one of the neighbors, let's say neighbor one, do you know at least three things about them? Neighbor two, neighbor three, neighbor four. For example, this is all made up. Oh, John lives next door. He's married. He has three kids. He works for Ford. I would challenge you to think of your eight immediate neighbors. How much do you know about them? Do you ever see them? Do you ever invite them over to your home? When I read that, that was really challenging. And that has spurned us on as a family to consider intentionally rubbing shoulders with our immediate neighbors. I realize that you guys have coworkers, you have family, unsaved family, but I really appreciated this guy's preface of this book because he's saying we need to intentionally rub shoulders with our immediate neighbors. If you have a pen and pencil or a paper, I would like you to draw a tic-tac-toe chart and put a house in the middle. And starting today, maybe throughout this next month, I challenge you to try to do this with your eight immediate neighbors. Do you know their names? Do they have children? Are their children out of the house? Where do they work? I challenge you to start rubbing shoulders with them. We're going to be in several texts today, but let's start in 1 Peter. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. What does Scripture say about hospitality? Is it an option? Is it something that only our pastor should do and our leaders in our church? All excellent questions. 1 Peter 4:8. Let me read it. 4:8 through 11. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's start with a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, help us to consider what you have said in your scripture about the importance of hospitality as believers. Lord, help us to cultivate that in our homes and in our marriages and in the relationships we have with our children and family. Lord, it is an important factor in sharing Christ, in rubbing shoulders with the lost. And Lord, help us to contemplate this topic today and to apply it into our lives starting today, throughout this week, for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to step away from the mic, but I'll walk a little closer.
If I have to use a question, in the world's idea of hospitality, what is their concept of hospitality? I'm asking you, what do you think some ideas, just for the average person in this area, if you walk up to them and say, you know, what is hospitality? What do you think some of the things they might say?
Testing.
I can. It drives me crazy being chained to a microphone. I'll help you out. How about entertainment? Hospitality means I have to entertain people. That's a common concept, isn't it? Can you hear me? Okay. Anything else? The world's concept of hospitality. We have food, probably drink at the same time. Yes, sir. Exactly. Thank you for bringing that. Yeah, I'm going to invite you over, but, you know, next week you do the same. Anything else? That's a good point. I'm thinking of one more. There might be a few more, but let's see if you have thought of it as well. We have food. It's a big word. I'm sorry. Reciprocity. Entertainment. Anything else? Sure. Sure. The world in general would have that on their radar as well. I would add there's probably a concept of we need to clean our house before we can have anybody over. Has that ever crossed your mind? Yes, ma'am. The same niche, the same generation. The people who are just like me. Yeah, who are in the same life stage as I am. I have four kids. We like families with kids. Let's now think, what is true hospitality? Let's think biblically. We've talked about what the world's concept of hospitality, and some of those things are good and valid, but some of them may be totally skewed. What is true hospitality? True hospitality is sharing what you have. you don't necessarily have to go to Costco or Kroger's or a specialty food store to buy the best and the biggest and pull a Martha Stewart on everybody. Some people really enjoy that, but you don't have to do that to be involved in biblical hospitality. Would you agree? But would you say that there's this kind of said and unsaid pressure that everything has to be perfect and name brand foods and bigger and better? Martha Stewart, everything. That's nice, but it's not necessary to have true hospitality, okay? And as believers, we need to understand that. Another factor in true hospitality is sharing who we are. Having people into one's home, we often feel, well, we need to clean up, like white glove everything and clean it. But have you ever gone to someone's home and it's just immaculate, like you cannot find a dust, nothing? And you're thinking there on the sofa, you know, this is probably not what it looks like all year. I mean, we all know that, but why do we have such a concern and worry about that? I'm not saying we should not clean our homes. Not have cleanliness. But in true hospitality, there may not be time. There may be a need. You may need to have someone in your home and you don't get to clean up the garage. It's okay. It's okay. I think many a time we miss an opportunity to minister because of that. We don't really want to share who we are. And that's just not in how we present our home, but how we present ourselves. What we talk about, are we talking about only ourselves or are we asking questions? Another important factor is true hospitality is involving your children in that process. We have four young kids, 11, 10, 7, and 3. It would be really easy to say, kids, get out of the kitchen. Christy and I, Mom and I are trying to get everything ready and you're going to mess it up. They might. They might drop something, break something. But what's more important as believers is to involve them in knowing about true hospitality and giving them opportunities to serve with you in that. As believers, we need to have that on our radar. Another one is inviting others just into your home. Do you know, your pastor is probably much better at Greek than I am, but I believe hospitality, the definition is meeting someone at the gate, meeting a stranger at the gate and letting them in. This goes back to what we talked about earlier. So oftentimes we hang out and invite people who are just like us. And we miss the point of hospitality also includes people we may not know, but there's a need. They may not smell like us or look like us or have a lifestyle like us. But true hospitality includes meeting strangers at the gate and letting them in. Yes, ma'am. Did everyone hear what she said? Let's talk about this. What is your name? Laura. She said, that's too risky. It's dangerous these days. There's crazy people out there. How many would you agree with that? Okay, obviously. The world is not getting any better. She lives alone. That's an important factor. Without a big dog. Ma'am, I would agree that there's some factors there that you would have to be a little bit more creative than just someone walking by and you inviting them in. Understandably. I'm not... true hospitality is not a call to be unwise. I think many a times we are in our low comfort zone and we like that. I mean, that as Christians, it's so easy to be in our comfort zone. But yes, that factor of security, a single lady at home without a big dog, yes, that's a factor. That's a factor. Inviting others into your real life. What do I mean by that? Share who you are. Take off the mask. When they're in your home, share with them your struggles. We all struggle as Christians. We all know that. But so oftentimes, when we're asked, "Hey, how's it going?" "Going great." But really, that's the mask answer. And don't be afraid. With other Christians specifically, to share. We need that koinonia. We need communion and fellowship with Christians. And so this topic is including strangers, strangers to us, unbelievers, but also believers as well. We need to be hospitable to people in our home, in our church as well. But we need to share who we are. Not always talking about the, you know, who we'd like to be. And what am I trying to say here? It's like it's very easy for us to try to communicate that everything's going okay in our marriage, in our dealing with our children. And that's just not the case. And I would encourage you just to be more real. That's what Christy and I have been trying to learn when we're inviting Chileans into our home, into our apartment. And it's really refreshing because it opens them up as well to share a little bit more. Being available when a need arises, that is part of the definition of true hospitality. True hospitality is not only when you're necessarily ready. You understand what I mean by that? My house is spotless. I have nothing on my schedule this week. I think I'm ready, just in case Pastor calls and someone may need a place to stay. That's not what true hospitality is. True hospitality may come, and I would include it often comes, when things aren't going your way. And we need to have the attitude of, there's a need, and I need to be available. And that's something that we need to cultivate in our sanctification. We need to be more sensitive for when there's a need. It may totally mess up our schedule. It might cost us something. But if there's a need, we need to try to meet it. Would you agree with that? That's a struggle for us, I think, sometimes. We have this mentality, the tendency would to think, I'm not ready to do hospitality because I have this to do. I don't have the finances. It all boils down to being available when a need arises. What do we have to believe to be truly hospitable? Here's a couple ideas. We have to get over our pride. Sometimes we're not hospitable because we're proud. No, we can't have anybody in our home. Our home is just too simple. We don't have room. What would they think? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, no, our house is too clean. We can't have people over. It's going to mess it up. They have kids. They're going to break something.
that boils down to pride, and not having the attitude of there's a need and I can meet it. That our sense of perfection is a lie. How many of you here are like slightly OCD like I am, or perfectionists and cleanliness? I mean, those things are important to us, aren't they? But sometimes our idea of what perfection is, it's really not true. We do not have to have our home all in order to minister. That is a key factor that we need to cultivate in our lives. That our possessiveness about personal time can be just simply selfishness. You know, that every third weekend it's me time. So that's out. Even if there's a need, it's me time. Well, that's selfishness. I think we all would agree that we need me time. We all would love to sleep in an hour earlier, extra this morning, and have a few more days off once in a while. Isn't that true? No? Yes? Yeah, it is true. But welcome to life. And welcome to service. And many, many times it's going to be inconvenient to what we want to do. But let me encourage you to do it anyway, because you will be blessed in serving the Lord. Those things that matter to you, cleanliness, your schedule, the Lord will work those things out. And you will be blessed in serving. That we are hospitable unto the Lord and not for a reward, like this man said. Well, if I invite you over, you're going to have to invite me over. I'll invite you over to go on the lake in my boat. Well, you have to do the same. That's not our motive as believers, to meet a need. Isn't that true? That's not our motive. And we'll look at a few verses that that back that up. We do not keep a book. We may have a guest book, but we're not going back to that book and saying, yeah, we invited them over last year and they haven't called us. I wonder what's wrong. We shouldn't think that way as believers. That our provisions come from God, who owns everything. What we have is from the Lord. And if we really believe that, we will gladly share. And it won't be a struggle for us to share something. We arrived in Miami last month, about a month ago. And have you met the Villalbas? Have they come up, Jane and Raul? He graciously gave me a cell phone. I didn't have a U.S. cell phone. And he gave me his GPS system for the year. That was awfully nice of him, very hospitable. He told me, these things the Lord gave me, and you have a need, use them. That was a big blessing. The concept of what we own is of the Lord. The Lord gave me my job. The Lord gave me my salary. The Lord gave me my children, my home. If there's a need, feel free to use it. That He, God, gave to us for us to give generously. We should not have an attitude of stinginess. We should give hilariously. We should enjoy meeting needs when there is a need. And that the most important thing we can share is not our food, though it may be good and tasty. And I'm not saying we should not try to do that. It's enjoyable to eat good food. Isn't that right? How many like bad food? Anybody? No. That's obvious. The most important thing we can share is not our food, nor our home per se, but our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is a real blessing that we have found as a young missionary family in a new city, is simply opening up our home to our neighbors and context that the Lord has been giving us. and making a friendship with them and sharing Christ, sharing truth. And if they reject Christ, to not forget about them. I think sometimes there's a tendency in our zeal and in effort to win people for the Lord or get involved in their lives, if there's some opposition by them, we think in our mind, well, fine, I'll go to someone else. That shouldn't be the case. We should continually be in their lives. Even though there's opposition, even though they know that you're a believer and want nothing to do with it, we need to continue to be hospitable to them and pray for them. Because sharing Christ is the most important thing. Let's read a couple of verses here. And I encourage you to jot a few down on a piece of paper. So throughout the week, we can go back to these and think and pray more in our own lives and our families. How can we be more involved in what biblical hospitality is? Let's read Hebrews 13:2. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." We may never know the person that had a need and that we met them or the Lord brought them into our lives. We may never know who they are, and they may be angels unaware. I think it's real exciting to start a day and say, "Lord, help me be ready to give an answer to people. Help me meet people and help me meet some needs." One day I was studying in my office and I heard a loud crash outside of our house. It was a weird sound. It wasn't two cars crashing. It was odd. So I looked out the window and this man had been driving by and he lost a whole wheel. His wheel fell off. That doesn't happen every day. And I had two thoughts in my mind. Man, I've got a lot of work to do. Someone would help him. I'm going back to my office and I have a sermon to prepare for Sunday. That was my first thought. And I'm like, what if it was me? I would need some help. Oh, Lord, what are you doing? So I went outside and I introduced myself. And I said, you know, what happened? And that was weird. And do you need any help? And come to find out, he needed a few tools. I'm not mechanical, but you can use my tools. It was a very warm day. Got him a drink of water. Do you have a cell phone? Do you need to call someone? I had to take him to his home about 6 blocks away. It messed up my day. It really did. But it was a blessing. Because there was a need, and I went to try to meet it. Now, I didn't fix his car for him. I didn't have those skills. But we need to be aware that when we get involved in people's lives, it's going to get messy. It's going to be time-consuming. It may cost you something. Are you willing to do that? Is the application question that we all need to ask. As believers, we're here on this earth to serve as unto the Lord. And I would encourage you to consider that. Another verse, Romans 12. Romans 12:1. 9 through 13. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. This concept of hospitality shows up in Scripture, and it's important for us to note these verses, because we do need to have an attitude of hospitality. Colossians 3:23-24. This answers the question for us, why should we be involved in hospitality? So people will like us? So our neighbors will do the same to us? That's what the world may think. These verses say this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We need to be serving the Lord for His glory and not for having temporal rewards now. We may never be rewarded on this earth, but we know and we can have confidence in an eternal reward. And we need to be okay with that as believers. If we really believe what God says, it should not matter to us if people thank us. It should not matter to us. Obviously, we love having, you know, thank you for having us over. Thank you for cooking that meal. Thank you for meeting this need. But what if they don't say that? Are we okay with that? We should be, because the eternal reward is in heaven. Matthew. Look at a few more here. Pastor, what time does this end?
10:30.
Okay. Matthew 5. Verses 13-17. Says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16, here's the key verse. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may not always be thankful or glorify the Father which is in heaven, but sometimes they will see that there is a huge difference in your life, in your marriage, how you treat your wife, how you treat your spouse, how you talk to your children. We have found that chillions are always watching us. And that whenever we have them in our home, it is a wonderful opportunity to flesh out this text right here. And I would encourage you that it's the same for you in your home in the Ann Arbor area. Let me close with this. Final thoughts on hospitality, on biblical hospitality. Hospitality is more of an attitude than an action. That's important to remember. Hospitality, biblical hospitality, is more of an attitude, a correct attitude towards a need than necessarily an action. True hospitality focuses on people and not things. Is it possible to be hospitable and not spend a dime? Yes, it is. Focus on people, not things or food per se. Hospitable people listen more than talk. Let that sink in a little bit. I know everyone's personality is a little different, and when we're nervous, maybe we chatter more. But when we have people over, I encourage you to ask open-ended questions. Kick the ball into their court when you're in conversation. We have found with some Chileans, they just needed someone to listen to them. They had a big burden on their heart. And we just listened. And it was a big blessing to them. Hospitality is generous, but it's never wasteful. We need to be good stewards of what God has given to us. We should not view hospitality as an opportunity to be super extravagant and wasteful. You can be extravagant, but we need to make sure that we're not wasteful. Hospitality goes beyond surface needs and looks at heart needs as well. If you have an opportunity to meet someone's surface need, a flat tire on the side of the road, there's also an opportunity to meet a heart need as well. Hospitality requires hard work and a loving attitude. We have four young children, and it is hard to have people in our home. What if our kids disobey? We need to say, time out, I'll be right back. And that's difficult. It takes hard work for my wife specifically in the kitchen to have someone over and feed them, you know, share with what we have. But let me encourage you that it's well worth it. It's well worth your time and effort. Hospitality brings great joy because it is based on your value of the people that are in your home. It'll give you great joy as a believer. Hospitable people always receive gifts gracefully because of the value of the giver. You know, there's another side of the coin to this. As believers, we should love to give, but what if believers want to give to us? Oh no, I can't take that. Sometimes it's hard for us to receive. Isn't that true? I know as servants of the Lord on the mission field, we love to give. We love to give. But whenever someone tries to do it to us, man, no, you keep it. You need it more than we do. We love to say that stuff. But at the same time, as believers, we all need to understand that we need to graciously receive because we are allowing that person to receive the blessing of serving as well. One more. Hospitality is a God-given gift for self and others. We need to intentionally have hospitality on our calendar. Some of it may be spontaneous. Sometimes we can definitely plan it in, and I would encourage you to do that. We have found on the mission field as a young family with four kids in the first term of our mission career that it has been a joy to serve the Lord by opening up our home. And I would encourage you to do the same. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be salt and light in this world. Help us to be wise and have discernment when we are seeing needs in other people and our neighbors and maybe other family members, our co-workers. But Lord, may we take away from this Sunday school lesson that hospitality is important to you,
and it should be honoring you. Our motive should be an attitude of hospitality because there's a need and we can meet it because you have given us things or finances or time or talents to be involved in the ministry serving others. Because we love you, Lord. Lord, help our family in Chile. Help these folks here to intentionally open up our homes and who we are and share of ourselves and share truth, share the gospel. We are living in a world that is wicked, and they need you, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share these texts and these thoughts and help us all to apply them and to think and meditate on them this afternoon and throughout this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.